hitting the target. Well, I think that's pretty much the goal of everybody out there shooting. I'm sure there are a few that just like to burn gunpowder, make noise, and send lead down range, which nothing wrong with that either. However, if you're going to have an effective shooting session, I would think hitting the target is a big part of that. So that does require being able to line up your sights and put rounds on the target. Now, if you have a firearm that hasn't been sighted in, or you want to zero it in and make sure it's been finely tuned at the beginning of hunting season or before a competition, you know what I'm talking about. You want to dial it in as precisely as you can. Getting all the bullets in one hole would work. Had a gentleman approach me the other night after a gun club meeting and asking about sighting in his rifle, and his biggest problem was actually just getting it on paper, which is actually a very common problem, especially if you're sighting in for a long distance. You need to be able to get on paper so that you can dial your rounds into the bullseye. I mean, it sounds simple enough. However, if your sights are out of whack, well, it's going to be difficult. Now, the one thing I mentioned to him, and it brought the conversation a little more focused, was to take your target and move it much closer to the bench, and that you should be shooting from a bench rest to sight it in. Some type of rest, if it's just an upright, a vertical post or something, maybe if you have a handgun. However, you want that firearm supported and steadied as best as you can. And the best way to do that is to put it on some type of rest on your bench, even if that's just a shooting bag. I've used my shooting bag as a rest many times. But you want it supported and you want it to basically not move as much as possible. I said, when you move that target in, I said, bring it in as close as 50 feet if you need to. It'll save you a lot of ammo in the end, because trying to get on paper just by guessing and using, you know, fire for effect and watch where impacts are, you're watching your sights. You aren't necessarily going to see the round miss your target and go, you know, 50 yards downrange or 100 yards and impact the dirt. That's not going to help you. So he understood. You bring that target in close and you punch some holes in it. Okay, now you're there. And then at that point, you'd want to move that target out to, let's say, 50 yards. It depends on if you're going to be doing your final sight in at 100 yards or 200 yards. Sometimes it is 50 yards. If you're doing a rimfire match and you're shooting at extremely small targets, then you would want to be able to fine-tune it at that 50-yard mark. However, with most rifles, they're going out to, on average, 100 yards. In some cases, 200 yards. All depends on what type of shooting you're going to be doing. So, he understood, just move it out to the 50 yards, and at that point, get yourself a group. You may have to start into a new target, but you very carefully fire three shots, and you want to make sure that you're aiming directly at the bullseye. And you would hope that those three shots would be in a group somewhere on the target. If they're all directly on the bullseye after three rounds, well, you're probably doing okay if you're sighted at 50 yards. But once you have a group that's fairly tight and that you're not hitting all over the target with those three rounds, once you have a group, then you can you have two choices: to adjust your sights slightly if you're moving your sights to hit at the 50-yard line, or move it out to your final range of 100 or 200 yards. Actually, you'd probably want to go just to 100 yards and then get your group on that paper, because your sights are going to be different at 50 yards out to 100 yards, maybe just slightly, but it's going to be a different sight setting to get on the bullseye for both locations. So now you've got your small, tight group at either 50 or 100 yards. You're going to want to move your sights at that point to walk those rounds into the bullseye. Now you move your rear sight in the direction that you want to move the impact of the round. If you are low and to the right, you want to move the strike of those rounds up and to the left. So your rear sight would need to be raised and move slightly to the left. That would move the impact of those rounds closer to the bullseye. So depending on how far out you are, if you're, say, let's say you've got a 2-foot target out there and you're about 6 to 8 inches away from the bullseye, you would want to adjust. Maybe I would usually use 3 clicks of elevation and 3 clicks of windage to move it closer to the bullseye. If you go too far, then you're kind of running back and forth and you're wasting your time, you're wasting your ammo. And there's a bit of frustration when all of a sudden you're hitting all the way over on the other side of the target. So just do standard. I use 3 clicks of elevation, 3 clicks of windage to move the impact of those rounds closer to the bullseye. Sometimes you're right on the same level as a bullseye and no elevation's involved. And sometimes you're just above or below the bullseye and no windage is involved. So you just want to know that you want to evaluate the target where that group is, and you move those your sights just a bit, and then you fire 3 more rounds. And then, all things being equal, you should have a tighter group much closer to the bullseye. And at that point, you would decide, okay, that split the difference halfway to the bullseye from the first group, or if it moved up very close to the bullseye, then you want to start doing the fine detail work of going 1 click of elevation or 1 click of windage, just moving it very slowly towards that bullseye. And at this point, since you have your group and the gun is firing in that group, you can shoot a single round, and if something does hit right exactly where you want it, or if it looks like you're just slightly off, you can make an adjustment after a single round and see if it makes the proper adjustment on the target. If you just want to go a little higher and a little more to the left, if you fired a single round and it actually impacted slightly higher and slightly to the left, that works just fine. Save you a couple of rounds at that point because you're already on the paper and you're close to the bullseye. So then you make a slight adjustment till you put a single round into the bullseye. Then put a couple more right on top of it or very close to it. And your gun is sighted in at that distance. Most of the time when I have a sighting target out on the range, it's either a shoot and see target, or the center is a 6 or 8 inch shoot and see target, which gives you a high visibility ring on the impact of the round. A lot easier to see through your glass and sometimes with just your naked eye. So I would almost always put another shoot and see target at least a 3 inch, but sometimes another 6 or 8 inch in the top left and the top right, and the lower right and the lower left of the target at the corners. And that gives me a clean target to use. Once I'm pretty sure my gun is sighted in, then I can, once I'm right in the bullseye, then I can focus on one of those other targets to the right or the left, high or low, and put a group of rounds on it. Just to confirm, okay, now you're off that target, you're on this other target up to the high left, and you put a 3-round group right in the middle of it. And you know that your rifle is sighted in. You've confirmed it. And when I'm sighting in a rifle for someone else, which I've done on a number of occasions, I will take one of the shoot-and-see targets from the top corners that is obviously less messy than all the other rounds I've fired. And I would present them with that at the end, usually just on a clean piece of paper. I just stick it back to that and say, that's where your group is at. And I would have it written on there, 100 yards, 200 yards, some small bore rifles, 50 yards. And, usually they're very happy with that because a nice tight group of usually less than an inch across on the bullseye at those distances means the rifle is going to be shooting accurately. In the case of the conversation I had the other night, the gentleman said, well, he was also using a laser sight, and he couldn't see the dot on the target at all. And I did explain that we're having much nicer weather. It's very bright out at the range, direct sunlight. It would take a very powerful laser to see any distance down the range. And it's not, I didn't explain this to him, but it's not like in TV where they always put the little dots on people even though they're 200 yards away and you've got a little laser dot on them. That can work in certain high-dollar lasers, usually in the dark, but in the daylight you generally won't be seeing a laser dot on a target at a distance. I did explain that he wants to make sure his mounts are mounted correctly and that he may want to wait to just before sunset at the range to at least sight in the laser once he knows that the iron sights on the rifle are dead on. And then he would definitely, before he even starts that, is to check the mounts on his laser and make sure that all the rounds all the screws are tight and that it's mounted level and properly to the barrel. So he understood that and appreciated it, but I didn't go into the fact that, you know, most of the time with certain pieces of equipment, they're not as effective during different weather times. You know, when you've got, I've seen scopes that get fogged up because they're defective and they've got some water inside. I've seen scopes that have had literally the reticle inside has broken loose and is actually moving around inside the rifle, and every shot it's shaken into a different position. So those are frustrating to discover, and literally sometimes if you shake the rifle you can hear inside the scope tube that's actually moving around because it's broken loose. This occurred much more often in my earlier instructional days when we were running youth shooting sports and all we had were the cheapest little Simmons or little Bush scopes that cost, you know, $20-$30 because you got to put something on. But it's a little rimfire rifle. It's not going to, it's not going to get a beating. However, once you've gone through 1,000 rounds, this little cheap scope that didn't cost very much is going to get beat to death on the inside. And that occurs too with a cheap scope, even on the 223. They will get broken loose on the interior parts fairly quickly. So I'm not of the mind that you got to spend big bucks on telescopes and rifle scopes and spotting scopes. However, you do have to put out some money to get something that's decent, and you would never, of course, buy something that you haven't at least had a chance to look through in some type of environment, usually in the store. I just hold it up to my eye. But once you know about a particular brand and you know the quality of that brand, you know that a certain dollar amount in that brand will get you a certain level of quality, and so you can buy them online when you see a good deal. However, just buying a cheap scope that you don't know anything about offline because it looks like a good price for that power, well, you're kind of flipping a coin. Because, again, like you say, you don't know what you don't know yet, but you'll find out. So if you were actually scoring a target and you wanted to, let's say, compete with the shooter next to you and you each had the same target, and you have a scoring rings on the target, and most of the time it's very black and white. If you hit in the middle, you get a 10. If the target's designed with X's in the middle of the 10 ring, you've got a 10X. Outside the 10, you've got the 9, 8, 7, all the way down. And then when you're scoring it, you would score wherever the round impacts on the target. However, if you're in between the lines, you always go to the highest score. If you break the line right between the 5 and the 6, you get the 6. on the score, because you did hit inside the six ring. Maybe only partially because you broke the line. However, you broke the line, so you get the six. You get the 7, 8, whatever the next highest score is on the line between two scoring rings, you get the highest score. And in a competition, more than likely, you will have somebody there with a scoring ring, which is a small magnification device that is designed in the caliber of the competition you're shooting, whether it's a 30 caliber scoring ring or if it's a 22 caliber. You want the caliber of the scoring ring to match the caliber that you're shooting, because it literally, when there is a dispute, you will insert this ring, has a small point on it that enlarges down to the caliber, and then when it seats on the face of the target, it is actually placed a small magnification ring around the impact where the hole is, with a insert that spread the target hole, or I should say the bullet hole, out on the target cleanly, and you can see the lines. Now, if it's still very close and you have two people, you will have one person designated as the deciding judge, or if you're in agreement with the other person that is viewing the target, you would decide what the score is. Okay, that is a 5. Or, no, I think that broke the line, that is a 6. You have to both be in agreement, or the final judge has to be in agreement. But whatever you do, there has to be a decision made before you pull that scoring ring out, because putting it in and out multiple times can actually enlarge the hole and falsely increase the score of the impact of that round. So if you have to put, some people would use them on every single round just for the fun of it, but really you only use a scoring ring when things are in dispute and just to make the final decision. But once it's inserted into a target, a final decision needs to be made before you pull it out again. And the X-ring, which is a smaller scoring ring inside the 10 ring, that's where you can get a 10X and you can get a 10 just by getting around in there. So you could both have a perfect score on your targets. And most of the time when you see a target or a competition where they said they got a 300 with 14 X's, that literally means 14 of them went into the 10X ring. And on skilled competitions, you would a lot of times you will have matching perfect scores, and it comes down to the number of X's that they got. And that's actually a term that people use when they said, yeah, I shot it, I 10X'd it. Or, yeah, I got it in the 10X. That means literally the center of the target. I hope you found some useful information in this podcast. I appreciate you downloading, listening to, and subscribing to the Shooters Podcast. We'll talk again soon. Take care.